We'll welcome you to Crossroads Community Church. We're so glad that you're here worshiping with us today. I want to invite you to take a seat, and plenty of seats, especially closer up. And we're continuing our series in Ephesians. Last week we talked about marriages. Today we're talking about parents and their children. And so let's read God's word together. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Would you please stand as we read this together? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. This is God's word. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your word, that your word feeds us, it nourishes us, it shapes us, and helps us to grow. And Lord, we pray that we would heed your word in our lives, and that we would treasure it. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. First point this morning is obey your parents. Obey your parents. Of course, all of the young people want to leave right about now. Children are called to obey their parents because God has placed parents in authority over children. And there are two reasons the Apostle Paul gives in this text why children are told to obey their parents. The first is this: children obey parents out of obedience to God. See, notice the verse says, obey your parents in the Lord. That is to say, to obey your parents is a part of obedience to God. So God places authority structures in our lives, and Scripture tells us to obey those authorities in our lives insofar as it doesn't conflict with obeying God. Obeying God is most important, and part of our obedience to God is to take seriously the authority structures he places in our lives. And so we see in God's word, there are exhortations to obey the government that God has put over us, so insofar as it doesn't violate God's word. We saw that husbands are put as spiritual leaders in the family, as servant leaders. And this week, we see that parents are put in authority over their children. And so children are called to obey the Lord, and this is the right thing to do. In fact, Scripture takes very seriously obeying parents. It is the fifth commandment, as many of you know. So that means 10% of the things that God highlights as important for Christian living, one of them is to obey your parents. And then look at Romans 1, 29 through 31, talking about sinfulness. He lists all different types of sin. The Apostle Paul says, they were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They're gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. Now, when I read that list, I was like, surely there is one thing on that list that is not like the others. Murderers, haters of God, inventors of evil. Why is disobedience to parents in there? It's because it matters to God. Because obeying the Lord means obeying your parents. That is the norm. We'll talk about exceptions later, but that is the norm. Now, the second reason to obey parents, according to Paul, is because it is a blessing. Children, obey parents because you will be blessed. Verse 2 says, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. And the promise is this, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Remember again that obeying your parents is rooted in the fifth commandment, to honor your father and mother. And it is the first commandment that comes with a promise, that it will go well with you, and that you live long in the land. Now, you have to understand some of the background to this letter. This letter was written to a mixed audience, and so the way we do churches, children are dismissed. But the way they did church in the ancient world was that the children would stay, and they'd listen. So he's talking to them right now. And the other background fact to this letter is that this is a world where 39 to 50% of children died before their 10th birthday, according to scholars. 39 to 50% of children died before their 10th birthday in this world. And so the promise isn't that if you obey your parents, you are guaranteed to live forever. But rather, the promise is this, that if you take to heart the wisdom that your parents have for you, you have a better chance of doing well and living long compared to those who disobeyed and despised what their parents had to say. It totally makes sense. Parents in the ancient world kept their children alive. They kept them alive because there were so many dangers in the ancient world. But it's true today as well. Little kids who don't listen to their parents about when or how to cross the street put themselves in danger. Teens who drive for the first time, who don't listen to the awesome responsibility that they've been entrusted with, who ignore their parents' advice about driving, put themselves in danger. When your parents warn you not to text and drive, do you see that as an annoyance or wisdom? When your parents warn you about drugs and alcohol, do you find that as annoying or do you see it as wisdom? Something happened to our family. So we had Christmas Day and then Christmas night came along and we're all sleeping. It's 1 o'clock in the morning after a long day of hosting. And all of a sudden, boom! And I look outside the window. I don't have glasses on. I wake up Jen, who slept through this earth-shattering explosion, and said, "Someone crashed into the light pole outside our house." And so a drunk driver, a 22-year-old drunk driver, smacked into the telephone pole, went across my lawn, destroyed all my seedlings, and totaled my neighbor's car, and then flipped over onto the other light pole. They think he was going 80 miles on the 25-mile-per-hour road. All right, he walked away with scrapes and bruises, praise the Lord. But he ripped out our power lines, and we were without power for a couple of days. Now, this is a young man, 22 years old, that could have used some obedience, could have used some listening to his parents, or maybe perhaps some parents telling him not to drink and drive. Because listening to our parents sometimes keeps us alive. That's what the scripture is saying. But all the examples don't have to be so serious. My parents would always tell me that I needed to be cleaner. They'd come into my room and say, "Why are your clothes on the floor?" Because I have this weird habit to say when I take my clothes off, I leave them in piles. As if I was raptured and my clothes just drop straight down, and I just leave them there all over the place. And so my room was pretty messy. Now, fast forward a few decades later, my wife asks me, "Why do you leave your clothes everywhere? Can you clean up after yourself?" And I'm like, "Who got to you, my mom or my dad?" No one got to her. If I would have just listened, I'd be less annoying to my wife. Or what about relationships? A lot of times parents get it right. Some relationships aren't healthy for us and they see it. They are able to see it when we are intoxicated with hormones and love goggles. They sometimes see it. As the great theologian Justin Bieber says about an ex-girlfriend, "My mama don't like you and she likes everyone." And sometimes mama is right. Sometimes it's not life and death. But there is a goodness to the wisdom our parents give. I wish I would have listened to my parents about a whole host of issues. It would have cost me less pain. The younger you are, the more that honoring your parents means obeying them. If you are under your parents' roof, honor them. And honoring them and obeying them is intertwined, and you ought to do so with joy and thanksgiving. Your parents have been put on this earth to guide you and lead you, to help you navigate the difficulties and dangers of this world. Obey them joyfully. Don't say, "I'll do it, but I don't have to like it." No, see the gracious provision they are that God has given to you. Give thanks for your parents because God has put them on this earth to guide you, provide for you, feed you, and give you wisdom to navigate this life. Obey them because it is blessed to obey. It is more blessed to obey than to not. Now, I know, of course, some of you are at least asking, yeah, but do you always obey your parents? And so I said that obeying your parents is the norm, but there are exceptions to the rule. If obedience to your parents means disobedience to God, then you must obey God. If your parents are leading you to sin, then you must obey God. If your parents are assassins, you do not join the family business. All right? You need to find an alternative career. But with that said, you had better be sure that you know what God wants more than your parents know what God wants. Because so often I hear people say, oh, my parents don't know what they're talking about and they want me to obey them. I'm like, no, your parents are right. Okay? So if you have to be sure that what your parents is doing is wrong and against what God wants before you disobey. I will also add this, that as we get older, we may not always obey our parents and all of their opinions and input they have in our lives, but we are always called to honor them. To honor your parents is to esteem them, to show them respect. Maybe somewhere along the line as adults, there's a temptation to think, I don't need my parents anymore. I don't need their input. I don't need their advice. And there's a temptation to dismiss them. You know, I'm the youngest of three older sisters. I have three older sisters. I'm the youngest. My parents still treat me like I don't know anything. Right? Tell me what to eat. They tell me what to do. My parents even give me ministry advice. Right? Now, there is a temptation in our hearts to say, what do you know about anything? You don't know anything about ministry. Right? But the Bible tells us to honor them, to be willing to hear what our parents say, even if we don't always agree. We must always respect what they have to say. And if we disagree, not to disrespect them or to ridicule them or to use harsh words with them, but instead to honor them. Even as our independence increases, we must find ways to show love, to cherish and honor our parents, to thank them in all that we do. Now, I do have one more exhortation in this particular section. Married folks, are you helping your spouses to honor their parents? Your in-laws, in other words. I know in-laws can be difficult, not from personal experience, okay? My in-laws are great, all right? But I know that in-laws can be difficult. And if you know, you know. You know what I'm talking about. I don't even need to give you examples. But the question you must begin with as a spouse is, how can we together, husband and wife and husband, honor your parents? Because this is right. Not always doing exactly like they want or as they say, but always seeking to honor and respect, because this is good, because this is right. So children are called to obey their parents, and everyone is called to honor their parents. And then Paul turns his attention to parents, and that's our second point today. Parents represent God to their children. Parents represent God to their children. Parents are not God, just to make that clear, but they are ambassadors. They are God's representatives in the family. God put parents on earth so that children can come to know the Lord through those parents. It's all over Scripture from beginning to end. One of the most famous passages in the Bible is Deuteronomy 6. Listen to what it says. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and it shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. In other words, parents are to teach their children about the Lord, literally everywhere. When you're sitting around your house, when you're walking around the store or taking an evening stroll together, before you go to bed or lay down on the couch to rest together, you talk about the things of God. First thing in the morning, you display it on the walls of your house. Parents are meant to be the first people in a child's life that helps them to learn about God. Paul Tripp, I enjoy his writings on parenting. He says this: God makes his invisible authority visible in the lives of children by sending parents of authority to exercise authority in the life of their children. I'm a mouthful. But what Paul Tripp is saying is God wants to demonstrate his character to children through the way that these parents parent. God wants to make his character known to the children through the way they act towards them, through what they cherish, through what they prioritize, through how they exercise that authority. Sociologist Christian Smith studied families that were successful in passing their faith onto their children and noticed some characteristics. Now, this isn't to say that there is some kind of magic formula, but there were some things that he found in common. He noticed one trend was that parents who had clear expectations and also warmth towards their children had a greater chance of passing on their faith to their kids. So clear expectations and then also a vibrant, warm relationship. But then there were parents on two extremes. On the one end of the extreme, there were authoritarian parents. Parents who were strict and demanding with their children and displayed very little emotional warmth. They had an authoritarian style. They don't spend much time bonding and building relationships with the kids. Authoritarian parents say, "This is my house, and you do what I say." And they show no tenderness and love towards that child. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, there were permissive parents. Parents who only showed empathy and affection, but never offered boundaries for their children. They have a permissive style. And a signal to the child, it doesn't matter what they do, even when it pertains to religion. So those are two extremes, authoritarian parents and permissive parents. And it's interesting. Paul addresses both of these styles. You see, look what he says. Do not provoke your children to anger. What he's addressing there is an authoritarian style of parenting. We talked last week about how Paul was countercultural in his day because he told husbands to be leaders, which was common, but to be servant leaders, which was radically countercultural. And this week, this is countercultural as well. Fathers were the authority of the household in Roman culture and had unlimited power over his children. Now, of course, there are stories about fathers and mothers being very tender with their kids, but much more common were severe punishments and even extreme forms of violence towards children. In general, the Roman culture didn't necessarily prize children's lives. There are excavations done of mass child graves in sewers. In other words, they were getting rid of these newborns that didn't want in sewers. So kind of horrific things in the Roman world. And so Paul is pushing against that. In this culture, one would expect Paul to say, children, don't provoke your parents to anger. But instead he says, fathers, don't provoke your children to anger. Now, of course, Paul is talking about this provoking your children to anger in a sinful way. He's not saying your children can never be angry. You know, if your child was just watching an hour of television and you tell them to turn it off and they get angry, Paul is not saying, you know, you're not allowed to tell them to stop. No, he's talking about sinful provocations of anger. So what could this look like? This could look like unreasonably harsh demands. It could look like harsh discipline over very small infractions. Some parents humiliate their children. I remember this as a part of my childhood, one of my least favorite memories of childhood, where an auntie at church would come and talk to my parents, and all the kids are standing there, and there would just be comparisons and shaming. It's like, oh, your kid got that in school? Mine's a dummy. They got much worse grades. And you would just feel like absolutely the worst. Or you would see the life leaving out of that kid's face as their parents talked about them like that. Talk to people about their parents, and so often there is so much anger around their parents. Some of it unfair, but also much of it justified. You hear things like, my parents fought in such volatile ways that me and my siblings never felt safe. My parents always brought me and my siblings into their fights, making us take sides with mom or dad. You hear things like, my father provided for us, but he never had time for us. I barely had a relationship with him. They put food on the table, but never cared about my emotional well-being. You hear things like, my parents put such unrealistic demands on me. At church, they said God first, but at home, it was about money, status, success, and academics first. They got so unreasonably angry at me over things like piano or violin or sports. Or maybe you might hear, my parents had volatile moods, one day happy, the next day rage and anger. These are all authoritarian styles. You see, if children get to know God through parents, then how would your child describe God? Because for many kids, they say, God is always annoyed with me. God is always angry with me. God is always frustrated with me and loses his cool over the smallest mishap or infractions. God has very little patience and can turn on me in a second. These are all authoritarian styles, and that is what we communicate to our children, what God is like. Now, that's one end of the extreme. But the other end of the extreme is a permissive style. Anything goes, and you see your kid primarily as a friend and not someone you need to instruct or discipline. And Paul confronts that as well. He says, bring your children up, bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. You see, some people think that the primary task of parenting is to help a child with self-discovery, to help them discover who they truly are. Others view parenting as helping children to conform to what they see as good values or good character. And I think Scripture instructs us to do both in a different kind of way. We are called to help a child discover who they are in Christ. We are called to help a child discover what they are good at, how God has gifted them, and how God has constituted them. But we are also called to discipline and instruct them. That is, to help them conform not to traditions or to our values, but to God's law and his character, what he desires for his people to follow. In other words, there are parts of children that need to be denied, sinful impulses that need to be rejected, and it is the parent's job to discipline and instruct them, to give consequences when wrong is done, not to punish, but to correct. And parents are called to instruct children in the ways of God, in the way of life. And so here are some considerations for you this morning. Parents, you are meant to be the primary spiritual influence on your children. You are meant to be the primary spiritual influence on your children. Primary, of course, does not mean the only spiritual influence. I love sending my kids to children's ministry because I hope that the Sunday school teachers and Jenny can undo some of the damage that I do during the week. Let Jenny talk to you, right? Fix some of this, right? A church family all plays a part in teaching our children about God. And sometimes the biggest influences in our lives are people outside of our family that are in church who decide to take a vested interest in us. Now, with that said, still, the primary influence still must be the parents. And so you cannot view the church as a place where you drop off your kids and they'll be spiritually formed. You must do it in the home. You must see your job as the primary spiritual influence on your children. And things like youth group and children's ministry, they come alongside you. They don't replace you. You cannot be replaced. God has put you in that home to be the primary spiritual influence. And so this means that parents, you need to be walking with the Lord. Children are very quick to know when your faith is phony. Your children will know. They notice inconsistencies in a heartbeat. My oldest is 6 years old. She started noticing inconsistencies in my life at like four. Right? I was like, oh my goodness, you're sentient now. You know everything. Like I have to act right now. You cannot tell a child to prioritize their faith. And meanwhile, they see you prioritize literally everything else in your life but your faith. They will not prioritize church if you as parents decide to skip it for all sorts of reasons. And so it begins with walking with the Lord. You also need to figure out ways to regularly talk about the things of God. You know, when Jen was pregnant with our first, doctors told us, you should read to the baby in the womb. And you should read to them even before they have words and language, right? Because they pick up all of those things. Sing to them because they absorb it. So why wouldn't we be reading scripture, discipling them, and instructing them from the very beginning, from the moment of conception, reading them scripture and singing hymns to them? Why wouldn't you be bringing them to church from the very beginning? I know you're tired, but this is important. Bring them from the very beginning. Parents that I have learned from implement a regular family worship time. Some people do it right before they eat dinner, and my family does it right before we go to bed. We read a children's Bible. We talk about it. We pray for people around us. My children have been praying for some of you for months. But it's also about bringing God into the daily routine of life. Seeing a beautiful rainbow to talk about God's creation. Seeing sinfulness in our hearts and talking about God's law and our need for grace. Praying for the hurt and sadness that we encounter each and every day of our lives as we look around. We live in an age of abundant resources. And if you need help figuring out how to talk to your kids about the things of God with your children, we are glad to help you. You can talk to Jenny. That's probably the best thing to do, really. In fact, Jenny has a table of discounted resources downstairs that are like half off. Children's Bibles, books that help you talk to your kids about doctrine. So buy those, like $6, and it'll help you talk to your kids about God. We would love to come alongside you because you are meant to be the primary spiritual influence on your kids, not us. You are. Secondly, parents, you are meant to teach God's law, not your law. You are to teach God's preferences, not your own preferences. You are to discipline and instruct what God's law requires and what he is like, what he delights in, and what he expects of us. Now, of course, as parents, we communicate our preferences, but we need to recognize that our preferences are not on the same level as the law of God, and there needs to be a differentiation. You know, perhaps when our kids choose schools or careers that are different from our own, we need to recognize that those are our preferences, not necessarily what God desires for their lives. If you're into STEM and your child chooses liberal arts, it may feel like sin, but it is not. It is not. Or maybe sometimes we need to recognize that our kids' personalities are just different than our own, and it's not sinful. Your personality, surprise, is not the perfect personality. Some people are more artsy. Some people are more analytical. Some people enjoy taking their time to smell the flowers a little bit, and others are always in a hurry. That's how God made us. One is not better than the other. Maybe you guys fight over how your kids dress. And I'm not talking about something inappropriate, but maybe you just think it looks bad. But the kid doesn't. Is that God's law or your own preferences? Do you tell your kid, repent of that outfit before the Lord? You can express your preferences, but don't communicate it the same way you communicate God's law. Now, sometimes we even get frustrated at our children because, not because they have disobeyed the Lord, but because they have robbed us of our comfort or inconvenienced us in some way. I became convicted of this because I think about how I react sometimes. After a long day, and then, you know, putting kids to bed is a long process, right? You put the kids down, and you finally get to sit on the couch. You're like, right? And then you hear these tiny footprints walking down the stairs. Daddy, I can't sleep. Like, go to sleep, or I'm going to put you to sleep. And then later on, you're in bed. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. I want mommy. Well, I'm daddy. Go back to sleep. And so they do. But I know better at this point, so I don't go to bed, you know, back to sleep right away. Because you know there's aftershocks. So I stay awake for 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes. And as I'm drifting back to sleep, another one. I want daddy. I want mommy. And you're woken up again. This is what they do to terrorists. You know, as they fall asleep, you just wake them up and you sleep deprive them. Now, I get so frustrated and annoyed. Not necessarily because they've sinned. Because you've taken away my comfort. How dare you, child, infringe on my me time? This is when I read books and watch television. How dare you? Yet in those moments, I have the opportunity to show my little ones the character of God, that he comforts us in our fears. He doesn't ridicule. That he is present with us. That he is inviting. That is who our God is, but not who I am often. Parents, reflect God's character in your character. I mentioned before that parents in spiritually vibrant families express clear parental authority and also effective warmth. That makes sense to me because this is the way God is. God is the perfect Heavenly Father, and we are called to reflect that perfect parenthood as we lead our kids imperfectly. It is neither authoritarianism nor permissiveness. God gives clear expectations. He tells us how to act as his children, but he also desires relationship. He does both. God has given us his law. He's given us the Ten Commandments and has given us his word to expand on the implication of his law on our lives. His expectations are clear. Yet God is a God that is steadfast in his love for us. He is slow to anger. He is patient and kind. He desires a relationship so much with us that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross to make a way. God is the father in the parable of the prodigal son who looks out in the distance every single day waiting for his return. And when he sees him, he suffers the indignity of lifting up his tunic in order to run to him, to cry, to accept him, to love him, to shower him with love, affection, and acceptance. It's all because of grace. It's all because of what Jesus has done. God has clear demands, but he also displays tenderness, love, and a desire to be in relationship with us. And that is who we ought to reflect, his grace, his love. And so let's close with our last point, grace for families. It's a short one, don't worry. Grace for families. As sons and daughters, you know that you have not always honored your parents. You know that. You have not always obeyed when you should. Won't you look to Jesus as the perfect son and seek to imitate him? And where you fall short, won't you repent and ask for forgiveness? For God wants to lavish you with his grace. And I know as sons and daughters, your parents have not always done the right thing to you and for you. And yet that grace that he lavishes upon you, won't you extend that grace to them? And so you say, how do you show respect to someone who has failed you so horribly? How do you show honor when someone has acted dishonorably? Well, you do it with the grace that loves even our enemies. You do it with the grace that allows Jesus to even forgive those who put him on the cross, who forgives rebels and enemies, won't you take the grace that is extended to you and extend that very grace to your parents? Some things can't be healed right away, but you can, by the grace of God, let go of that anger, that bitterness, that hatred, and by his grace, show honor. Won't you let the grace of Jesus Christ place a healing balm on your relationship with your parents and seek to honor them? Parents, maybe you're like me, and you wonder often about all the ways we are messing up our children. That's what keeps me up awake at night sometimes. I'm like, oh my goodness, I need to save up for therapy. There is only one perfect parent, and it's the Heavenly Father. We're but faint shadows, and God knows that. If you feel like a failure of a parent and you realize how you fall short, won't you turn to your Heavenly Father and confess these shortcomings? Won't you ask him for grace, not just to be forgiven, but for the grace to exhibit his character to our children? And won't you trust that as you seek to honor the Lord and parent your children, that God can take our measly offerings and multiply them for his glory and our good and the good of our children? Our Father in heaven loves your children even more than you do. And he will use what you do to try to honor him in their lives. Keep pointing your children to God and trust that their perfect Heavenly Father will hold them in his hands. We fall short, but God does not. So let us pray to the Lord that the way we parent would point our children to our Father in heaven. Let us pray that grace would permeate our families. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are our perfect Father in heaven. That so often we fail as parents, we fail as children, and yet you, as our perfectly Heavenly Father, show us grace through your Son, Jesus Christ, that he went to the cross to die for us and purchase our lives and let us move forward in a better way. Heavenly Father, we are all children to someone. And Lord, if our parents are on this earth, help us to honor them and to obey them where appropriate. Help us to do it with joy, not begrudgingly. And Lord, I pray for the parents here that they would take the task of disciplining and instructing their children seriously, and that they would pour their hearts and their minds into that task, that it would be the most important thing that they see themselves called to do. Father, we need your grace to permeate our families. Heal those tense, hard relationships with your grace. We know you can do it, and only you can do it. And so we come to you. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.